Read from the book of Genesis, chapter 24, from verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehi Roy, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto her servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. One of the joys of conducting a wedding is that I can be the first to congratulate the newlyweds, which I do now, and wish them every blessing and every happiness in their life together. You can have your turn later. Another privilege is that, having been minister of this church for 26 years, I have known James and Kerry for different amounts of that time. James, from a little boy, when he and his parents moved to Iscaviog and began attending this church. I have seen him grow up, become a Christian, grow as a Christian man, and into his career as a police officer. Kerry, I have known more recently as she came to our church, heard the gospel message for the first time, was converted, and as we know, she too is a police officer. Now James and Kerry are married in the Lord. They are not dead religious. They are living Christians. As man and wife now, they have something unique to a Christian couple. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, the verse already quoted earlier, they are heirs together of the grace of life, that their prayers be not hindered. In other words, they share the blessing of eternal life in Christ, and they will live together in heaven one day after death. And meanwhile, they have a prayer life together as Christians. It's like a love triangle. The Lord is the top, and they each are the two corners of it, or the two edges of it. And that love triangle will be in the home they set up together. On the walls of many Christian homes, you often see a notice with these words: "Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation." That is the home they hope to set up together. At this point, some of you may be wondering, what does he mean by a Christian? Maybe it will be helpful if I take a few moments to explain what a real Christian is. No one is naturally a Christian. No one is unknowingly a Christian. A Christian is something that each of us needs to become. The Bible speaks of conversion, which means to be turned to God. It speaks about salvation, because we are lost and we need to be brought back to God. How does this happen? A real Christian is someone who has admitted something, that we are a sinner in the sight of God, every one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all broken God's commandments, and we are under God's judgment and on the broad road that leads to hell. That is the salvation that we need. Secondly, a Christian is someone who has believed the good news, that in the gospel message it tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that his death upon the cross was him, the sinless one, bearing the punishment of God due to us for our sins. And he, being that sacrifice, has satisfied God's justice and made possible a free forgiveness and salvation to all who believe in the Saviour. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And thirdly, a Christian is someone who is following the Lord Jesus, now saved from sin, put right with God, enjoying a relationship with the Lord. Life is under a new management. The Lord Jesus is Lord of our lives, and his word is the directory for living, the Bible, and his Holy Spirit within us enables us to follow the Christian way, and we have entered into the best possible life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, in this passage that I read just now, you have the marriage of a man and a woman, Isaac and Rebekah, two believing souls. And although there are unique features to this, there are some principles that always apply to Christian people who join together in marriage. I have to say that even non-Christians can know these things, because marriage is a creation ordinance from God, not specifically for Christians, for everyone. But it is a Christian couple who will be able to enter into the fullest meaning and blessing of it. So what are the outline lessons here for us then? There are two things we can learn from this short passage concerning Isaac and Rebekah. The first is they met each other. We read here that Rebekah lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac, and Isaac lifted up his eyes and saw Rebekah in the distance. Their eyes were what first met from afar. And married couples never forget when they first saw each other. I remember when I caught sight of the young woman who was to become my wife. I can still picture the scene. December 1971. And there was something about this young woman that struck me. And it is so for so many of us. I had that certain feeling. She was going to be my wife. We were to have our future together. Before ever I got to know her, I remember with our daughter-in-law, Beth, who married Peter. Peter, in his wedding speech, he said that he and Beth were at a Christian family conference, and he was in the hallway of this large house, and as Beth was coming down the stairs and he looked up and caught sight of her, he said his heart leapt at the sight. Lifted up her eyes. The eyes when they first meet. It's not always love at first sight, but it can become so upon further consideration. But here, in the case of Isaac and Rebekah, it was an arranged marriage. Abraham's servant was sent to another branch of the family to bring home a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. But you'll notice that the servant, earlier in the chapter, in verse 14, says, "She that thou, God, hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." Appointed. Every Christian marriage is an arranged marriage by a kind and gracious God. Not just a chance meeting, but like everything in life, marriage made in heaven. And the Lord prepares us for this. As Rebekah grew up in her family home, she learned those qualities and values which would equip her to be someone's wife. And for Isaac, it prepared him to be a good husband. Remember this. The best preparation for marriage, humanly speaking, is to be the best son, the best daughter you can be at home. As Matthew Henry, the commentator, put it, "Those that have approved themselves well in one relation, it may be hoped, will do so in another." And it happens when the time is right. The scripture says a prudent wife is from the Lord. And you remember in the very beginning when God made Eve from the side of Adam, he brought her unto the man. And he became the matchmaker as well as the minister to join them together. And God still has his purposes for his people in this regard. Are you single today and you could wish that this was your day? Well, God still brings his Eves to their Adams. And you only need one. You only need the right one. And God in his kind providence, the wonderful thing about being a Christian is that you can pray about this. Commit yourself to him. Tell God of your need and your longings. And God will bring about a happy union and bring you to the one with whom you will share the rest of your life, as he has done James and Kerry. When the time is right. And here you see, not only was it a good preparation to be faithful at home first, but when their eyes met at this distance, what was Isaac doing? He went out to meditate in the field at evening. Meditate means to pray. Christians can pray anywhere. They can pray walking along. They can pray on a lovely summer's evening, seeing the sunset, communing with God, praying and praising him for the wonders of creation. Isaac here was in prayer, and he saw his future wife. Rebekah was obeying God, coming from her home to Abraham's family to marry Isaac. In other words, they were both pleasing the Lord, and that is the best possible preparation. When we're prayerful and obedient to God, the Lord makes it happen. If it hasn't happened yet, preparation like this is never time wasted. When God deems you ripe and ready, the Lord will bless you with your marriage partner. They met each other. And secondly, the other thing is this. They loved each other. We read that Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent. She became his wife. He loved her. He was comforted. It was 3 years since his dear mother died, and he finds comfort in a wife. And they move into the parental home, as it were, and they begin their life together. What would that love they had for each other involve? It would involve remembering something vital, the vows and promises you make on that special day. We have heard that the Bible speaks of marriage as a covenant, the wife of thy covenant, a momentous commitment, solemn and yet happy, to never forget what you promised and pledged on that day keeps you. Remember that vital thing. God has heard it. Everyone else knows it. Be faithful to it. And secondly, they become one. The Bible speaks about a man leaving his father and his mother and a woman too, and they become one flesh in marriage. It's much more than just being conjoined together. It's the closest possible relationship human beings are capable of. At every level, there is a union. And it's described as one flesh because two people become one. Not that they cease to be individuals, but they are now together. And it makes for that wonderful relationship. No longer single. So many problems in marriage are because husbands and wives still think they're single entities and that they continue together as they were before they were married. And that can cause so many problems because it's not togetherness. And lives can grow apart when there is that strange independence of each other. One flesh. It's not I now, but we. It's not my, it's our. It's not me, it's us. It needs many adjustments. It's demanding work, but it's an investment, dear friends. The more you give and consider the other, the more you will get in return, and the more precious it will be. Invest in it heavily, and you will find that it will reap great rewards. Work hard, James and Kerry. You're not single anymore. You're one together. And if you can reflect that in all your relationship and considering each other, you will find you'll grow closer and closer together, and it'll be much, much more satisfying. If God blesses you with children, as we trust he will, you will find that investing together in bringing up your children will reap untold rewards now and in future generations. They loved each other. And of course, they talked to each other. Communication is so important, to share everything. As soon as you hear of something, oh, I must tell my wife, that kind of thing. Sharing together. Growing friendship. The Bible speaks about my beloved and my friend. One's wife, one's husband, the best friend in all the world. Doing things together. And whatever else you may do, strive to have those times when you are able to be together, just the two of you. You don't need lavish things. You don't need money. You don't need expensive things. If you've got one another and time for one another, that's the most precious and rewarding thing you can possibly have. And lastly, mutual respect. So important, this mutual respect. From the man's side, the scripture says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter toward them. Mind how you speak to her. I'm sure you will, James. Words are powerful things. They can be cutting things. You can be thoughtless, impatient, and say something that will really wound deeply. And that injures togetherness and closeness and oneness. And for the wife's part, see that she reverence her husband. Respect. Kerry, make sure you always respect James. And speak respectfully. It's so easy for wives who've grown used to the old man who's there, and he's always there, to just shoot off words thoughtlessly. And it's so humiliating to a man's dignity to be spoken to impatiently by a wife. See that she reverence her husband. These are biblical things, but these are common sense things as well. And they are the recipe for a close and a happy marriage. And as the years go by, for as long as you are spared to each other, may the Lord enable you to work these things out in your Christian lives and in your Christian marriage. You'll find that if you're spared for 30, 40 years, you'll begin to say to each other, I was just about to say that. That's strange. That's exactly what I thought. If you're spared for 60 years, you'll even grow to look like each other. It's a remarkable thing. It really is, how that there's such a oneness in everything. Well, may the Lord bless and prosper and have all the glory and give grace to us all to know the blessings of the God-given gift of marriage. Amen.